Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you on this Thursday, April 9th, and we are inching oh so close to the NFL draft. It's going to be here before we know it. We'll have a lot of new stuff to discuss once we know which direction teams are going in. And the rumor mill is certainly going to be starting to pick up in the coming days. It's already starting to pick up. So lots to cover, lots to talk about. And on today's show, I'm bringing back a guest that a lot of you folks really liked the last time he was on the show. Terrific guy, Nick Filato. He does some work for me over on GiantsCountry.com, and just a really, you know, terrific and knowledgeable person. And Nick, so glad to have you on the program with me.
Patty, thanks so much for having me. I mean, the draft is right around the corner, so let's talk some football, my friend.
Absolutely. So anyway, we thought we would do something fun today. We're going to take a draft slanted take on the game, Who Would You Rather? All right. So basically what we're going to do, Giant fans, is we are going to go three rounds. We're going to start with this segment, round one. The next segment, we'll do round two. And then the final segment, we'll do round three. And I am going to put Nick on the spot, but he's tough. He can handle this. I know he can. And I'm going to ask him who he would rather as far as draft picks. And he's going to tell us who he would rather and why. So, Nick, if you are ready for the challenge, my friend.
I am ready. I accept. All right. And I am willing. Let's go.
All right, here we go. Who would you rather? Round one, Isaiah Simmons, linebacker, or offensive tackle?
Okay, so for me, it comes down to two players here. Obviously, Isaiah Simmons. And then the second player for me, if there is no trade back, so let's preface that, we're going at four here, ladies and gentlemen, the player would be Jedrick Wills. So between Simmons and Wills, you got to weigh the pros and cons, okay? If you take Simmons, who is a fantastic athlete, who can literally play effective football on three different levels. He has the range to play deep safety. He can cover in the slot. He's solid in man coverage, excellent movement skills, all the things. I mean, we've heard the praise for Isaiah Simmons time and time again. But if you take him, you're neglecting selecting an offensive tackle. And if you look at the Giants' current offensive tackle situation, you have no right tackle. And then on the left side, you have Nate Solder, whose contract you can get out of after this season with relatively with a lesser cap hit. And Nate Solder's play last year was subpar. I mean, let's call spade a spade. It wasn't that great. So you really need to focus on Daniel Jones's protection here. And I feel Jedrick Wills is a possibly a Pro Bowl type of tackle. I think his movement skills, his mirroring ability in pass protection is just excellent. He has amazing footwork and he's incredibly powerful and stout in the run game. He can drive people off the ball. He's excellent down blocking. He can even pull in the space sometimes and locate at the second level. He has the movement skills for that. And Wirfs is kind of known as a tackle who can do that out of the big four, but Wills can do that too. He has excellent movement ability. So do you go with Wills, who seems like that safe option was going to be a rock on your offensive line, or do you go with Simmons, who can just kind of give offensive coordinators fits because they're never going to really know if you are in base personnel because he can fill so many different roles, excel in blitzing, and he could be the face of your defense. For me personally, I am 100% fine going with either one of these players. And I do like some second round tackles here. So I'm going to go with Isaiah Simmons from Clemson. And I believe Dave Gettleman is going to fall in love, or he's already in full bloom love with this player. And he could be donning Giants blue by the first day of the draft.
Ooh, wow. So you don't think that the Giants will look to finally address offensive tackle in one way, shape, or form? I mean, it's rare. I think this is the healthiest class of true offensive tackles they've had in a while. And, you know, obviously the Giants don't want to be drafting that high every year. So you don't think that maybe they dip into that pool and say to themselves, look, we've got O'Shane Zimenez, we've got Kyler Fackrell now, we've got, Lorenzo Carter. And, you know, yes, folks, I understand Isaiah Simmons, you know, is a tremendous talent, but you don't see maybe maybe offensive tackle being the higher need?
I can definitely see offensive tackle being the higher need when you look at the positional values. But I think Isaiah Simmons might just be more of a blue chip prospect. And I look at Dave Gettleman's track record, and he hasn't selected an offensive lineman in the first round. He's never done that. And then I look at his love for Shaq Thompson, who we drafted out of Washington in, I think, 2015 it was, who was a hybrid type of linebacker who could fill many roles. And he wasn't even close to the athlete of Isaiah Simmons. Now, again, I would absolutely love if they went with Jedrick Wills at 4. I would love for the Giants to trade down and acquire more assets. But if I'm weighing the prospects, I have a higher grade on Isaiah Simmons right now than I do Wills. And I can see the Giants going either way. And I think Gettleman might lean towards Simmons and then maybe look to fill the tackle position in the second round with someone like Lucas Niang or Prince Tegawanoga from Auburn. Lucas Niang is from TCU. Or you got Ezra Cleveland from Boise State. There's other tackle options later. But if I'm just comparing right now, which one am I going to lean towards when it comes to all of the factors and variables that go into it, I'm going to go with Simmons. But again, love Jedrick Wills. Be totally fine if the Giants go that direction because he's going to be a rock on the offensive line.
Gotcha. Okay. So now I have to ask you this. Even though I've given you two choices, offensive tackle and Isaiah Simmons, what are the odds that Dave Gettleman will do something totally out of the blue? I mean, if we project, say, for example, Joe Burrow and Chase Young and Jeff Okuda going in the first three with the first three picks, you still have an option at receiver. You have a potential option at safety. In terms of value, is it too soon at number 4 to go for a position other than offensive tackle or an Isaiah Simmons?
I'm going to put that percentage low at 10% just because you never really know with Dave Gettleman. A lot of people didn't think that they were going to select Daniel Jones. And when I say a lot of people, I mean the public. There were whispers in the NFL that Dave Gettleman was in love with Daniel Jones, and obviously he went with him at 6. But last year at 4, no one expected Mike Mayock and the Raiders to go Cleveland Farrell, the edge rusher from Clemson last season. So surprises can happen, and this is an incredibly talented 2020 NFL draft class. There's a lot of talent everywhere, wide receivers, Derek Brown, who we know Dave Gettleman loves, interior defensive lineman. And Derek Brown is just an absolute wrecking ball at interior defensive line. He's coming out of Auburn, and he's a player that fits the mold of DeGallon, but I just don't believe, looking at our roster, or the Giants roster, I should say, and looking at what the Giants need with all the other players that are on the board, that he'll go that direction. But I'm going to put it at that, like, 10-15% just because crazier things have happened. And I honestly, I know I mentioned it before, I really do hope the Giants look to trade down to the Dolphins or the Chargers or someone in that range. Again, it's going to take two to tango, but I believe acquiring assets and getting as many assets for day two, rounds 2 and 3, it would just be a very smart move for the Giants because this is a deep class and there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of receiver talent in this class. So you get more picks on day two, you can kind of fill that extra receiver role that we've been talking about on the site, that Jason Garrett has kind of looked for those big body receivers. The Giants don't currently have that right now on the roster. There's no one above 6'1 at the wide receiver position. Obviously, Evan Ingram is, but I would love for them to trade down a couple slots and then select someone like Jedrick Wills or Isaiah Simmons if they're there. But I would put that the percentage of him doing something outlandish when it comes to just drafting, you know, Jerry Jeudy or Derek Brown as pretty low. I don't think it's going to happen, but you can never rule it out with Mr. David Gettleman.
Absolutely. You just never know. And for the record, I think there is going to be a trade. I would be stunned if the Giants don't work something out. Now, before we get off of round one, I've got to ask you, if you're the Giants, how far down do you go before you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to miss out on a guy that I think is just, you know, a stud that can step in right away? So what would be the lowest and scenario that you would see the Giants maybe exercising if there is a trade down?
See, I don't think they're going to drop out of the top 10. I look at Jacksonville at 9. Jacksonville has 2 first round picks in this year's draft, but it just doesn't fit what Jacksonville looks like they're doing, because it looks like Jacksonville's in full tank mode right now. I mean, they traded away AJ Bouye, they traded away Calais Campbell. Gardner Minshew is going to have a shot at that, or is probably going to be the starter unless they draft a quarterback this year, because they shipped Nick Foles to Chicago. So they So they don't seem like they would be in the market to trade up unless they're in just love with a quarterback. And also, I'm not sure how long Doug Marrone's rope is. I mean, everyone thought he was going to be let go this year. He's brought back. So it's a little weird what's going on in Jacksonville. I think they're in full tank mode. Don't think they're going to be trading up to number four. So I look at teams like Miami, right after the Giants at five, Chargers at six, and then Carolina at seven. Carolina is another one where I don't think they're going to be trading up for a quarterback because they just signed Teddy Bridgewater to they signed Teddy Bridgewater to a 3-year deal. So I look at Miami and the Chargers, and I think that's your hot spot right there. I don't believe the Giants would be willing to trade all the way down to 12, where Las Vegas, weird to say that, but yes, where the Las Vegas Raiders are. So I'm going to say 5 or 6, unless they can really convince Jacksonville to move up at 9. But I mean, you have Las Vegas is at 12, and I want to say they have 2 first round picks. I think they have the 19th pick, which they got for the Khalil Mack trade from Chicago too. So they have some draft capital in this draft too. So depends on how Gettleman, I think you could probably get one of those tackles at 12. Kind of hard to say because Cleveland and the Jets are both in the market for a tackle, as is Arizona. And that would be taking a risk. And I don't believe Gettleman is going to want to take that risk. We've seen him mention at press conferences in the recent past saying that you don't want to trade too far out because you're going to miss out on these blue chip prospects. You're going to miss out on those big names. And there are a lot of big names. The Giants have a bevy of players they can select at 4 and be totally happy with that player, and or 5 or 6. But again, it takes 2 to tango. If Miami and the Chargers want to trade up, Miami wants to do what I think Cleveland did a couple years, or was it 2012 when they traded up 1 pick to get, I think it was like Trent Richardson with the Vikings, and the Vikings drafted Khalil, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. But the Giants could just, you know, Miami has so many picks, so they could just get a day 2, maybe 2 day 2 picks. And the Miami can secure that 4th spot, maybe draft Justin Herbert, draft Tua Tagovailoa, whichever quarterback they like. The Giants could hopefully pit teams against each other and get as many assets. But I don't see them trading too far away from the number 4 pick. What about you, Pat? Do you see them trading maybe to like outside of the top 10? Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it's a possibility, but I think it's a very low possibility. I think ideally, if I were the Giants, I would not go further than, say, you know, the lowest I would go, I think, would be with the Chargers. I tend to play conservatively because, like Gettleman says, if you get too cute, you can end up missing out on, you know, a guy that you have rated highly. And I think it's going to boil down to, okay, if they have similar grades on, say, 3 or 4 guys, you know, let's say 4 guys, whether it be the tackles and Isaiah Simmons or whatever – usually what happens is now you can say, okay, you know what? If we can go down no more than 4 spots, we'll still get a guy that we have in a cluster that is going to, you know, that we like. But once you get outside of that cluster, then it becomes, you know, then it's like, nah, now you're going to just totally destroy your draft board before you get started.
Yeah, 100%. I totally see exactly what you're saying. And I don't believe Gettleman, he hasn't been overly aggressive. We've talked about that plenty. He hasn't been overly aggressive with moving in the first round whatsoever. So I don't think that's going to happen.
All right, good stuff, Nick. Folks, you are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Nick Filato. He is a writer for me over at GiantsCountry.com. Also does some work for Big Blue View, and he has a podcast, which he'll tell you about at the end of the show. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, round 2 of Who Would You Rather? So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and Nick Filato is the guest today. We are playing a game of Giants Draft, Who Would You Rather? And we just finished up round 1. We are now moving on to round 2. And Nick, if you are ready, my friend, I have your round 2 scenario.
All right, let's go. Pick 36.
All right, pick number 36. Who would you rather, a center or a linebacker?
Okay, so this is we're obviously going under the assumption that the Giants drafted Jedrick Wills at 1. So we'll go under that assumption. You look at the linebackers that are going to be available. Personally, I don't think Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen are going to be available for that 36th pick. But just because I don't feel like I don't have a prospect anywhere near those two in this range, let's say they both are available, okay? And then you look at the centers, Lloyd Cushenberry out of LSU and Cesar Ruiz out of Michigan. I don't think Ruiz is going to be available for that pick, but I have a feeling Cushenberry maybe. I think I'm going to go center here because I feel having a center who is stout against the run, who is really good in pass protection, is vital to the offensive line, especially when you have a rookie, well, a second-year quarterback now, and you have this new system that he has to master. And that's something that not a lot of people are talking about. Daniel Jones has to master this whole new system. This is his first year in this new system with Jason Garrett, and that takes a lot. It's basically like learning a new language, trying to learn a new playbook with new verbiage, working with new players, a new coach, somebody else who's going to be in your ear every Sunday. That's a big deal. It's going to be a curve for Daniel Jones to kind of get over. And I think having that competent offensive line, John Jalapeo's not there, Spencer Pulley, I'm not fully in on as a long-term starter for the New York Giants. And I look at Ruiz and Cushenberry, and I think they could be rocks on the offensive line. Now, I think they're both solid in pass protection. I think Ruiz is a bit better when it comes to generating power from his lower body and kind of climbing up to the second level, locating. I think Cushenberry has better footwork and probably more fluid hips, but Ruiz is good in that area as well. So if you're pitting me against with Ruiz and Cushenberry or Murray or Queen, which I honestly don't feel it's likely for either of those two to be there, I'm going to go with Cesar Ruiz, the center out of Michigan. Now, if I were to go to linebacker out of Queen and Murray, those are two guys that I think are fantastic. Patrick Queen had a really, really good national championship game for LSU. Murray is from Oklahoma. And Queen is the prototypical Will type of linebacker. He's lighter. He's like 220 pounds. And he just flies around, has a really good ability to key and diagnose. And he's just stop and start burst and change of direction are excellent, which we know Dave Gettleman really likes. He likes to focus on the 10-yard split when it comes to these linebackers. Just ability to key diagnose and then just put your foot in the ground and just go right downhill, right into the gap and blow the play up. I think Queen, as a Will, weak side linebacker, can excel in coverage and do that well. But I think Dave Gettleman, if he falls in love with a player and this player is there, it would be Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma, because Kenneth Murray, he has those abilities too. He's a rangy, athletic linebacker, long arms, and he's also a really, really high character type of player. Everyone raves about his character in Oklahoma. I want to say his family like adopted a bunch of kids and he helped raise those kids. So he's somebody whose character is off the charts by everybody's metric. And I think Dave Gettleman would put that into account along with his leadership skills, Kenneth Murray, that is, and his athletic ability and his effective play. So I think he would be a player that Gettleman would love. I just don't think Queen or Murray would be available. So for this pick, we're going to go with Cesar Ruiz, center out of Michigan.
Okay, now let me ask you this. So when you draft players, and when I say you, I mean any NFL team, ideally, I would think you would want your first three picks to make an immediate contribution. With that said, would you feel comfortable putting a rookie center in front of a second-year quarterback who is still kind of learning how to read NFL defenses? Or would you just say to yourself, okay, you know what? We're going to start with Spencer Pulley because he's done it. He's experienced. And at some point, maybe during the year, we're going to work Ruiz, assuming that that's the pick, into the lineup? Or do you just maybe redshirt Ruiz if he's the pick at the second round?
I think Ruiz is a polished enough player who has a lot of experience in Big Ten football that he could step in and play. And I think he would be a much more effective player than Spencer Pulley. That's kind of why you're bringing him in. I think he's effective in both phases. He can run block. He can pass block. And I mean, it's going to be harder for, I'm not 100% sure who makes those line adjustments. I know Daniel Jones was a little bit limited in that last season, and I don't know if it will be the center, because I think Jalapeo helped with that. You probably have a little bit more insight than I do with that, but I think Ruiz could be spun up on that, and there's nothing on his film that suggests that he didn't know what was going on or he struggles with his football IQ or anything like that. And it might be somewhat of a learning curve, but I think you draft him 36, he's going to be your starter day one, and Pulley would be the backup, hopefully help Ruiz along the way, and if something were to happen to Ruiz, he would step in.
Okay, now let me continue to play devil's advocate here. If the Giants were to go with an offensive tackle in round one, who you know would be a day one starter, would you feel a little squeamish having two rookies on your offensive line, again, knowing that you have a second-year quarterback?
I mean, it wouldn't give me the biggest warm and fuzzy, but I look at the Giants' current state of the offensive line and kind of what Daniel Jones dealt with last year. I mean, both Mike Remmers and Nate Solder were top 10 in pressures allowed. last season, sacks allowed. I would rather go with the people who are going to be the players that are going to be starting for the future, and the players who are just better football players. And I know they're rookies, they're not as experienced, but they're still really solid players, and that's why they're kind of being drafted that high. So it's something that I would account for. It's something that you would monitor as an offensive coordinator. And if struggles do arise, then you have to adjust your offense to that. But I still think both those players are effective enough players to step in and start, and then you go from there, and then you evaluate as you go. But I don't think you draft those players whatsoever, and you bring them in, and then you have them sit on the bench for players like Spencer Pulley. Cameron Fleming is a person. He's an adequate starter. He can step in and start. We've seen him spot start and be solid doing that. So he's a player that can definitely help as a swing tackle. But if you draft Dredrick Wills, you're not going to be starting Cameron Fleming over him. But I just think his presence would help and his experience with Mark Colombo. And that's another thing about this is I'm high on Mark Colombo as a coach. I think he is a very good football coach. He's developed a lot of younger talent for the Dallas Cowboys. And I think his upgrade over Hal Hunter is just astronomical. And we probably haven't talked about it enough as a Giants fans community. I think he's a much better, much more competent coach than Hal Hunter. And I don't want to besmirch Hal, but his track record isn't that great going back to Cleveland. He was more of just Pat Shurmur's buddy who came over, and the development on the offensive line just never really meshed. And you've seen Pat Shurmur's offense, the inside zone. You never really got a sense like those linebacker or the linemen were cohesive. They never really climbed up to the linebackers. Their double teams were just, there was something off. And I always felt like the Giants offensive line had more talent, but it wasn't being brought out. And I think Mark Colombo is going to be able to get as much talent out of this offensive line, which I look at guys like Will Hernandez. I think you're going to see him play much better this season because he kind of had a down second year. And then if the Giants do go with some of these rookies, I have faith that Colombo can kind of teach them up, spin them up, and get them ready. Given if the Giants had a real offseason with everything going on in the world right now, we're not 100% sure how that's going to materialize. But if it was, I have a lot of faith in Coach Colombo.
Absolutely. And I do too. And for the record, Nick, I do believe the Giants need to address that offensive line. And at some point, they're going to have to do it. And, you know, I just want to preface this by saying that, look, they may have to struggle, if you will, for a lack of a better term, for another year while they get that line fixed. Because, look, that offense is going nowhere and that team is going nowhere if they can't get that unit fixed. So I do 100% think,
agree, yep.
I do think that, you know, for the record, I would like to see them add an offensive tackle. I would like to see them add a center for the long term, because, you know, then you got Will Hernandez, who's a solid piece. You've got Kevin Zeitler, who is still relatively young and under contract. Nate Solder, I think they keep it for this year, and then afterwards they move on. And if they get a left tackle, they can maybe kick Nate Solder over to the right side. And I think, you know, and I could be wrong here, but maybe it becomes a little easier to get a right tackle in free agency than it does a left tackle, which is going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah, it does cost you so much money to sign those prototypical left tackles. And we've seen contracts be given out to those prototypical left tackles and kind of not live up to the contract in the past. But not necessarily with the Giants. I mean, obviously you have the Nate Solder situation. Hopefully he can bounce back this season, but just in the NFL as a whole. So, I mean, tackles are a premium right now. And even the left-right side, I mean, you see guys like Von Miller line up on the right side all the time to go up against the right tackle is what I mean. So left tackle is still more important because most quarterbacks are right-handed, but the right tackle is equally as important these days. I mean, it's not as big of a disparity between the two positional importance as it was 10 years ago, because edge rushers are lining up on both sides now.
Absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do in those first two rounds. So, Nick, let's take a break. Giant fans, we're going to be right back with round three of Who Would You Rather? So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and Nick Filato, who is a writer for Giants Country, Big Blue View. He has his own podcast. I think it's called Big Blue Banter. Is that correct, Nick?
It is Big Blue Banter. Myself and CBS's Dan Schneier go over the All-22 film. We'll plug it later, but yeah, it's pretty good. You guys should check it out.
Okay. Well, anyway, we are playing a game of who would you rather Giants draft style, and we have done rounds 1 and 2. Now we're going to move to round 3, and just once we get done with round 3, I'm then going to give you just a spoiler alert here, Nick, just to get you thinking. I'm going to give you an opportunity to go back because I know I limited you to one of or the other, one of two choices, and I'm just going to go back and give you an opportunity if you disagreed with both choices, what you would rather have done. So, but for round 3, okay, Let's kick it off. Wide receiver or safety?
So wide receiver or safety. I do believe the Giants could add a wide receiver in this draft, but I would rather them add a safety at this point. And you look at the safety that are going to be around in that third round. The Giants have the comp pick in the third round, so it's pick 99. So McKinney's going to be gone. Grant Delpit's going to be gone. Antoine Winfield Jr. is going to be gone. Chin and Duggar, the small school guys. Chin is from Southern Illinois, and Duggar's from Lenoir Ryan. They're going to be gone. And then I look at Ashton Davis. Now, he did not test at all through this pre-draft process because he had, I think, a lingering groin injury. He was at the Senior Bowl, but he didn't play down there. Ashton Davis is from Cal. He was a walk-on there. I want to say he went to Cal because he was running track, so he's a tool athlete kind of player. And I believe Davis has that single high ability, and he was utilized there somewhat, but it wasn't exclusively. He was covering the slot. He was doing a lot of different things. But if you turn on some of his tape, you could see he has that range and that burst. And I believe if he tested, he would be kind of bumped up just like Jeremy Chin and Kyle Duggar were. And now that Chin and Duggar have been bumped up so high because of their testing numbers, and it forced scouts to go back to their film and really just evaluate them. And they both went down to the Senior Bowl and they went to the Combine and they did excellent at both of those events. Maybe Ashton Davis is going to slide a little bit. And I don't think he's going to be there for 99, if I'm going to be realistic. But if he was, it would be Ashton Davis there at 99. But in a real world, I just don't think that's going to be the case. So I look at Terrell Burgess. Now, he's the Utah safety. He's another player who could possibly play single high. He should be available at around that time. And then you go to the wide receivers and you look. I think Michael Pittman Jr. at a USC will be available. He's a very talented player. Donovan Peoples-Jones possibly could be available. He's out of Michigan. Van Jefferson out of Florida. Colin Johnson out of Texas. Bryan Edwards out of South Carolina. Chase Claypool out of Notre Dame. Those are all players who are bigger bodies who should be available around that time, but it's kind of hard to say because the wide receiver class this year is the deepest you'll ever see any class. It's absolutely ridiculous, and that's a great thing for the Giants because some of these guys could slide down to maybe 99 or 110, so it kind of depends on who is available and what the value is. I value the safety position on the Giants much higher, but at pick 99, all those safeties might be gone, and then I'm not necessarily going to want to overdraft. So say if all those safeties I named, including Burgess, are gone, but Michael Pittman Jr. is still around, the USC wide receiver, I'm going Michael Pittman Jr. over that safety. But if Ashton Davis, Terrell Burgess even fall to 99, I'm definitely going to go safety over wide receiver just because I have a higher need on this team for that deep single high free safety. And again, I did a piece for Giants Country when it comes to Julian Love. Can Julian Love fill that role? I think he can fill that role, but I also think he can do many other things at a very high level for that Giants defense, including being a slot receiver against those bigger bodied receivers and those tight ends. And I think that's very valuable because we saw Grant Haley struggle in coverage last year. Love Grant Haley against the run. Love his physicality. Love the fact that he's like 5'9" and he tackles better than probably anybody on the defense. But you can't be a deep liability. And Julian Love was able to shut that down. So having him in the slot and then maybe having somebody else as that single high safety is definitely an option the Giants should look to execute. Now, again, if it goes down to wide receiver safety, I'm going to go to safety if the value is correct. All depends on the value. You do not want to reach for positional need when it comes to the NFL draft. You want to bring in good football players and you let the rest take care of itself.
Nick, I'm going to ask you this question. I know it might be a little hard to answer it without demonstrating it with film clips, but when we talk about offense and defense, is there an advantage or is it easier for one side of the ball to maybe scheme away holes than it is the other side? So, for example, on defense, you know, we talk about the lack of a pass rush that the Giants have had. Is it easier to maybe do some different things with the scheme in order to generate a pass rush to where maybe, you know, you don't need a, you know, you can get by without a stud pass rusher, or, you know, maybe adjust the coverage, whether you rotate it or you play a different, you know, instead of playing cover two, maybe you do quarters or something like that?
I mean, there's definitely ways you can scheme around it, but the tricky thing with defense is if you have one glaring liability on defense, the offensive coordinators are just going to attack it. You attack, you attack, you attack. We saw it with the Giants last year. Grant Haley, he struggled against the vertical slot. He struggled against those routes. So what happened in, I think it was week three or week four against the Redskins, what'd they do? They were just airing it out to Trey Quinn out of the slot and trying to attack the Giants there. And they actually missed a lot of those passes, which was good for the Giants, but it was an early indication that teams were really aware of the fact that the Giants struggled covering the vertical passing game. So that's why we saw teams just attack it and attack it and attack it. So I think it's very hard for defenses to kind of get away from one big liability. Now, when it comes to the pass rush, you can do things in coverage. You can do zone blitzes. You can bring an extra man. You can bring five instead of four on a pass rush. You can do stunts and you can do twists. But if you're doing that, that means the back end is going to have to compensate. So that means you should have a rangy safety depending on what you're playing. Are you playing three deep? Are you playing one deep with man coverage? You're playing one deep with man coverage. You're going to need a really rangy safety, and you're going to need cornerbacks who can cover for 3-4 seconds, which is kind of a long time. And you're going to need those cornerbacks to have the ability and the athletic ability to stick in man coverage and stay in phase on those wide receivers. Okay, so you're going to need a lot of different things. And when you play man coverage, if you're going up against a mobile quarterback, that mobile quarterback can use his legs to really make you punish. Tackles can just open up, block the end up the field, opens up huge rushing lanes. And if you don't have a middle linebacker as a spy or anybody as a spy, then that mobile quarterback, which we see a lot in the NFL, can just take off. So man coverage can burn you if you don't play it correctly and if you have liabilities. And then in zone coverages, there's always soft spots, and then you could just, the offense can scheme route combinations to really take advantage of it. So you can scheme smash concepts. You can scheme, you know, Yankee concepts. That's a more of a deep vertical route with a deep vertical, and then a horizontal cross that really, really kind of puts the safety into conflict. And that's kind of what you're trying to do as an offensive coordinator, is put players in a conflict. The safety is going to have to make a decision. Do I go down on that horizontal cross, or do I drop on the vertical? And then whichever one he decides, then the quarterback throws the ball to the other player and they have a one-on-one matchup. And if their receiver is better than their cornerback, usually the receiver will win. So defense can be a little tricky when it comes to that. And the offense, if they have a glaring weakness, you can kind of run around it. And that's going to give the defense kind of the ability to know where you're going, but you still know the play. So I would have to say that it's tricky for defenses to really overcome a very glaring need. I think the Giants pass rush is definitely a problem, I would say, because there's no proven pass rusher there. And you're really hoping to get the most out of Lorenzo Carter and O'Shane Zimenez. And we really hope that the Giants get somebody to be an edge rusher for the first three picks this year that can come in. But it's not, you don't really want to rely too much on a rookie. But yeah, no, liabilities on defense can be a very precarious and dangerous thing. You can always scheme somewhat. You can always scheme around it a little bit, but it can come and bite you in the rear end when it comes to that third down situation. You know, third and long, you get the offense into a bad spot. What happens? Liability gets attacked. We've seen that. We saw that in 2019. We saw it so many times throughout Giants history. That's why you need to, that's why this is the most team sport there is. If you're a football player, if you're a defensive football player, be good against the run and the pass, be able to cover in space. If you're an edge rusher, be able to do all three of those things. So I can show blitz and then I can come off, drop into coverage, and I can then blitz from another side and hopefully catch the offense sliding their protection towards where they originally thought the blitz was coming from. You catch them off guard, able to hit the quarterback for a fumble, do whatever, and just be able to kind of trick the offense. Football is the biggest game of chess ever. I don't know if there's any chess lovers out there, but it is such a game of chess and doing different things to see how the opposing coach and coordinator show their hand, and then they change it up, and then you change it up, and it's just that going back and forth depending on the situation, down and distance, and so many different things. That's why I love this sport, because it's so multiple and there's so many things that you can pay attention to, and it's just really a game of wits played by incredibly physical athletes who are out there to just impose their will and their strength on their opponents.
All right, Nick, good stuff. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Let's get put on the spot.
I've been putting you on the spot, and you've been handling it with aplomb all podcast long, which I appreciate. So let's go back to the three rounds. I gave you a one or the other. If you had to go back and look at those three spots, the choices, would you deviate and say, for example, instead of offensive tackle versus Isaiah Simmons in round one, maybe go with a different position? And just tell me, for each of the three rounds that we've covered, if you would go outside of the two choices that were presented to you.
Yeah, so if the Giants do go with Isaiah Simmons in round one, I think you can realistically look at tackle at pick 36. I do think someone like Lucas Niang, who had a hip injury last year against Texas, he ended up getting surgery. But a lot of his, a lot of the things that people criticize him for is his ability in pass sets. They think that he takes false sets. But I think a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that he had that hip injury and was playing through that hip injury. So I go back to his 2018 tape, and it was relatively solid, I would say. And I think he's a player. He has the length. He has the movement skills. He has the footwork, who can be a solid pick and somebody who can step in and play possibly right tackle or left tackle for you. So him at 36, if we're going over the tackle position, if we're going over tackle position at 99, I think Prince Tegwanoga is a player out of Auburn. He's a solid player who can has all the length, can generate power throughout his body, has solid movement skills, but it's not great, even though he played at Auburn, where they do a lot of pin and pull concepts, something I feel like the Giants will implement. I do feel like he's pretty high when he pulls around the edge, but I think he would be an excellent addition at 99. Don't know if he'll be there for that pick. I think Ezra Cleveland would be an excellent pick at 99. He'll definitely probably won't be there because of his athletic profile. I think he could be there for 36, but I think he's going to need a year of development just because he kind of gets dominated by power. He doesn't really have the anchor. And I learned that he dealt with a turf toe injury throughout the entire season. And turf toe is pretty nasty. I mean, people like give it crap because it's not, you know, this gruesome injury, but playing with it can really hinder your play. And he was able to play through that the entire season and showed high leadership. And just Ezra Cleveland has excellent, he's Boise State, ladies and gentlemen. He has excellent movement skills too, and he's a really, really good athlete. So he's a player at 36 that, again, I think he's going to need a redshirt year, which I don't love for the Giants, but that you should just know his name. But if I'm going to go with the edge position for both 36 and 99. So at 36, there is a guy. His name is Zach Bond. He is an edge and a linebacker. He's a multiple kind of player for Wisconsin. I think he'll be selected in the first round because he is an incredibly talented player, but crazier things have happened. And we know this draft process. I always say right now, when it comes to first round picks, there's like 80 first round picks. Everyone thinks all these players are going in the first round, but there's only 32. So if he slides to 36, that is a lock it in player for me. I think Zach Bond, who can rush the passer, play in space, be a linebacker in the box, and he's even covered out in the slot against tight ends and even receivers sometimes. He is an incredible athlete, has pass rushing repertoire, has pass rushing skill set. Think he can be an off-ball linebacker, and I think he would mesh perfectly with what Patrick Graham is trying to do. So that would be my guy, Zach Bond out of Wisconsin. But if he's not there, I think Julian Okwara out of Notre Dame is a player that I think it might be a little bit too high at 36, but I think he's a good player who could be developed. But he kind of has he hasn't played that much, because I'm not really 100% sure what injuries he was dealing with his first 2 years in college. But last year he broke his fibula and kind of had a down year. Statistically, he broke his fibula in November. But I think Okwara has excellent bend, burst, and explosiveness, and he has really powerful hands. I think that that's just valuable traits that not everybody possesses at the edge position. So I think he's another interesting name. I don't think Yuter Gross-Matos from Penn State will be available at 36, but he's another one who people have compared to JPP because he has incredible length, very, very long-armed kind of player, and he's very, very quick with his lateral agility. I love him crashing the B-gap from like the five technique or just outside of the five technique. He does that very well. So he's somebody. He'll probably be selected in the 20s, but these are all names, Zach Bond, Julian Okwara, and Yuter Gross-Matos, that I feel like Giants fans should just be aware of, just because the edge position, there's a dearth of talent there right now. Now, pick 99. If we go to pick 99 and look at the edge position, players that I want to pay attention to is Jonathan Grenard. He's more of a 4-3 type of end. He's the player out of Florida, but I like him better than Jubari Zuniga out of Florida. But both of those players, both Florida Gators, they're very solid players who should be around that pick. Grenard might go a little bit before, but I think they are both athletes who are good against the run, who can rush the passer. Zuniga went down to the combine and played incredibly well. I didn't see that kind of athlete tested incredibly well. I didn't see that kind of athlete on tape necessarily, but his tape is still solid. I think he's a name at 99 we should pay attention to. I think Alton Robinson is a name at around 99, maybe at 110, that the Giants should pay attention to. He's the edge rusher out of Syracuse. He had a great 2018. His 2019 was down a little bit, but that whole entire Syracuse Orange team didn't really play necessarily too well down there, or last season, I should say. So I look at Alton Robinson. He's a player who has the first step explosiveness. He can get hip to hip with tackles. He can turn the corner. He just needs to gain a little bit more strength and get consistency, and I think that will come with coaching. He had some baggage as well, which landed him at Syracuse. He had Power 5 offers before. I want to say he went to like some little school, and then he ended up getting into Power 5 and going to Syracuse. But that's a player to pay attention to. And so is Daryl Taylor, who also has some baggage issues, but he's a bendy, explosive edge rusher out of Tennessee. He's somebody else I feel like Giant fans should pay attention to, because if you look at that edge position, you need to add players, because you're relying on Lorenzo Carter and O'Shane, and if one of those guys get hurt, then you got Kyler Fackrell as well, obviously, but you're really projecting these guys to kind of all be maximized, and it's not super realistic to expect them all to have their best years of their career. So you really just need to add to the edge position, and there's solid day three edge prospects who are try hard guys like Michigan State's Kenny Willekes and players like that. And then there's the kid from North Dakota State, Derek, I can't even say his last name. It's like Turtsika or something like that. He's an explosive player, North Dakota State. He's a fun watch. You just see his highlights. They're really, really impressive. I really got to get around to his film, but the little bit of film that I've seen, I've really liked of him, and he went to the combine and just dominated too. So, yeah, edge rusher is definitely a premium for the New York Giants. And I'm trying to think if there's any other positions that I skipped over. I feel like I've been talking forever, though. I think those are the positions I really wanted to hit. But when it comes to that first-round pick, it's going to be that tackle. It's going to be a linebacker. It's really just Simmons and Wills if they don't trade out of the fourth pick for me. Those are the two players that I want the Giants to go after. If they go after Wirfs or Andrew Thomas or Mekhi Becton, have a more plan for them. I feel like Wills is the safest, yet still very, very competent, very, very good upside kind of player. The other ones I have some concerns with, but I think Andrew Thomas can be a rock at left tackle. I think his feet are a little bit heavy, but I still think he'll be a fine player in the NFL. Wirfs, I see concerns with Tristan Wirfs, but his athleticism, and I feel like will outweigh all the technical issues that he has. And I feel like get with Mark Colombo, he's going to get the most out of someone like Tristan Wirfs. And then Becton probably is the biggest boom bust, if you're going to label it like that, just because he's coming from Louisville's offense. He only has 1 year of that consistent play. He's had weight fluctuation issues, but someone of that size and with those movement skills, they don't exist, but he exists. So that's somebody that is very, very intriguing as well.
Wow. Awesome stuff, man. I'm telling you, I love your breakdowns. They are so amazing and so thorough. You do such a good job with that. How do you have time to do anything else?
Yeah, well, I love to, like, I watch, before I got into this industry, I would watch film and just kind of do it with myself. And then I ended up getting on Twitter and started posting stuff and started to get to know people. And I went to the Scouting Academy and met a bunch of people through that. And Dan Hatman took me under his wing, and that was an awesome experience as well. So I surrounded myself with great people, and then I grew to love this. So this is like a hobby of mine, and then I turned it into a career and a job, and it's fun. So I like doing it.
Great stuff. Nick, tell everybody where they can find the podcast, and we've got some stuff coming up from you actually on Giants Country that's going to – actually, by the time this podcast drops, people will be able to see that article. It would have dropped today. The show was airing on Thursday. The article would have dropped on Wednesday. But tell everybody what you got coming up.
Yeah, no, I got a couple articles for Giants Country. I got a mock draft 2.0, which the mock draft 1.0 was pretty cool. So I got that coming. And I also have kind of like what we did now, not necessarily a this or that, but it was just going over the positions and where the Giants should select certain prospects at each position. And then we go through the biggest needs on the Giants, and we go all the way down to the fifth round of the New York Giants, and we list the optimal prospect for each positional need for the New York Giants. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And also, you guys can find me on Twitter at Nick Filato. That's just N-I-C-K. F-A-L-A-T-O. And the podcast is Big Blue Banter. It's myself and CBS's Dan Schneier, who is an excellent follow on Twitter, by the way. And we basically break down the all 22 film of the Giants. So it's a little bit of a different spin of what the normal Giants podcasts are, but we go really in depth with that. But during the off season, we just dive into everything that's going on. We talk draft, we talk comedy, we talk everything. We do multiple podcasts a week, and we bring on a lot of guests to talk about. We bring on Jordan Reed. We have Kyle Krabs coming up, John Ledyard. We had Ryan Wilson of CBS, who did an excellent job this past week. So please go to iTunes, Spotify. You can find us anywhere. Give us a listen and give us a little rate and see how we're doing.
And likewise, Giant fans, if you're not subscribed to Locked On Giants, if you haven't rated us, please do so. We are on iTunes and every place you can find podcasts. So on behalf of Nick Filato, who I, again, thank for his time and his expertise and insight, this is Patricia Traynor for the Locked On Giants podcast. Giant fans, we will talk to you again later this week. Have a good one.